This episode of Enough is brought to you by Harvest. Harvest is a painless time tracking and invoicing application relied on by the most innovative teams in over 100 countries worldwide. Teams including Happy Cog, Squarespace, Volkswagen, and a ton of other freelance developers, designers, and consultants. You can track your time effortlessly from anywhere using their web client or one of the many apps they have on platforms including Android, iOS, and their newly released Mac app. You can send your clients professional and attractive invoices directly from Harvest via email, PDF, or directly on the web. And then your clients can pay you instantly either by credit card or by using fast payment gateways like PayPal, Authorize.net, Trust Commerce, and more. Harvest have created a service that's so intuitive and easy to use that you can spend less time worrying about your timesheet and more time focusing on your work. Try Harvest free for 30 days today. No credit card, no obligations. Go to getharvest.com and sign up for a free trial. After your trial period, you can use the code 512, that's numbers 512, at checkout, and you'll receive 50% off your first month. Do it quick, as this offer expires on August the 1st, 2012.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
As we discussed on a previous episode, we have Mr. Aaron Mankey back on.
Yeah, we made a promise that we just simply could not keep.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's completely my fault too, right? Because last time Aaron was on, we were going to record a how packed to, or how bare is your error
episode. Don't do that one. That's the other show.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Not only did they rip off my idea, flip it on his head, but now they got me saying it. Holy crap. It's all coming down. I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. Sorry, that was a Network reference. And if anyone hasn't seen the movie Network, shame on you. So yeah, we have Aaron back on. I had to go early last time, and so we didn't get to record it. And I was disappointed in myself and let both Mike and Aaron down, and most importantly, the listeners. So we haven't done one of these in a while. I've heard tell that the listeners like it when we talk about Mac stuff, and that we haven't been doing enough of that lately. So without any further ado, here is Mr. Aaron Mankey to talk about how bare is his air, which, spoiler alert, is likely not very bare at all.
Before we start, Pat, you need to give it that gusto, because I'm only putting the theme music in. If you give it the gusto... Right.
And here we are for another episode of How Bare Is Your Air?
Thank you.
Wow.
Somebody dial 911. Patrick got a seizure. That's awesome.
I missed my calling as a game show host.
You really did.
So, Mr. Mankey, I mean, here's the deal, right? You do some pretty heavy-duty work.
I do. Yeah, and I do work in a lot of different fields. You know, I mean, I'm a designer most of the time, but I'm also a writer. And so, I mean, those are two different tool sets when you get down to it, that have different stresses on the system and they take up different types of resources. So yeah, there's a lot of that going on with my stuff. But for the most part, my day is taken up with design. And I do work at a 27-inch iMac most of the day. Which is great for double page layouts and all sorts of things like that. But I can pick up my Air and I can head off and work somewhere else. And I really don't have a problem doing it.
Yeah.
Which is probably a testament to the MacBook Air itself. I have a 13-inch. They open up my little about this Mac. I don't know if this kind of stuff is important. I got this last summer right when they were updated. So I've got the 1.8 core i7 and 4 gigs of RAM.
Yeah. Nice. What's your storage space on it? Nice.
I believe I have the 256. Looking again, more info. I got to tell you, I love the new About the Mac displays.
Yeah, it's
great. Yeah, so 256. And I'm using, I have 145 gigabytes free out of the 250.
That's not too bad. You've only got a half full.
Yeah.
I mean, that said, this is not your primary machine.
No, it's not. It's not.
Right. So the way that how bare is your air works is I don't really want to talk about necessarily how bare that air is. you see. What I want, although that's interesting to me and will help to inform what we do here, mm-hmm. what I want to know is, and the whole shtick of this, is that if you were stuck with the low-end model,
yeah.
the 64 gigabyte model, first of all, you think you could do it? Probably not. You probably couldn't do that.
I think I could. So,
Okay. And know, so if you can, then we need to know what are the things you absolutely have to have on that air. Like you just couldn't, like it wouldn't even be a machine to you without.
Right.
Outside of the built-in applications, of course.
Well, so because I work on two machines, one of the things that I have to do is use Dropbox on both of the machines. And that allows me to keep a folder called jobs, and inside the job is a folder for each client that I'm actively working with on a project. And then inside their folder, obviously, are old projects, new projects, whatever. But my jobs folder, my Dropbox folder is 46 gigabytes right now.
Whoa.
Yeah. Sweet.
I mean, I pay for a 50 gig. And I've picked up a lot of, the referral links and stuff. So I think I'm around 62 or 63 gig of space that I can use on Dropbox. And 46 of it right now is taken up with everything between personal and Wet Frog Studios stuff. If I had to pare things down on the air, I would probably just go... see, it's tough because there's all these shared folders. And I don't like the way Dropbox handles the shared folders. If somebody shares a folder with me and they fill it with 10 gig of files, I shouldn't have that counted against me.
Yeah, exactly. That's not your problem. But right. I mean, the thing is that it really does synchronize this stuff locally. So technically there's no way for them not to do it that way. Right.
Yeah. I just feel like they're charging two people for the same 10 gigabytes, you know?
Just think that, man. Otherwise we could set up some crazy peer to peer system and then everyone has like a terabyte. We will just link it up together.
I saw that software you linked to last week on Twitter, Patrick, that was like a brew your own Dropbox at home kind of thing.
Yeah, OwnCloud is what it is. And basically, it's if you're either super nerdy or super paranoid, this is the thing for you. But basically setting up a Dropbox-like thing on a... on your local system. And I've seen other people do things like that with Strong Space and Expand Drive, both made by the same company. Strong Space has a kind of cloud-based backup solution that's based on nice open-source technology. Expand Drive is basically like a virtual thumb drive that can work off of that storage space, and you can do some really interesting things there. And like Dropbox, it's ridiculously fast.
So if I had more control over what I could like keep in Dropbox, that would be better. I know that you can do selective sync. That would help me trim down what I keep on my air. In my jobs folder is an inactive folder. Whenever I finish a client's work, I move their client folder into inactive. And that way, I'm in my mind space, when I look at my list of jobs, I don't see the old stuff. I only see the current stuff. So I don't have to look around so much.
Could just not sync that inactive folder.
Yeah, I could just tell it not to. I've tried it, but when you go away on a trip or you're doing some sort of like away from the desktop situation, that's when you get the email from the client that says, "Hey, you did my logo last year. Can I get a business card designed?" So I did the math and I thought, you know, it's like it's almost 9 gig of space in that inactive folder. So why don't I just keep it with me? What I do is after a client's been inactive for a year, I move them to more, I call it non-syncing storage. It's just on my hard drive. That's also backed up to Amazon S3, and it's backed up to Time Machine, because you can't store your data in too many places.
believe me, I know that.
There's a couple clients that have really, really thick folders. I mean, I have one client that I'm looking at that's got, 2.5 gig just in their own folder. So I think I could do some paring down to do that. But essentially, to fit my stuff on my air, I would really have to work with...
manage Dropbox.
Yeah, how I manage my Dropbox.
How you manage your space there, because just installing Dropbox and synchronizing your photo, your documents that are key alone is going to end up taking up probably between 40 and 50 gigs of space.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
And boom, there you go. That's your 64 gigs, right? I mean, realistically, when you think about it, I mean, Lion clocks in at 9.
Right.
Let's just say that you've got 50 gigs of Dropbox folders that you kind of want to have, need to have to have.
Yeah.
Well, you got just a few gigs left. I mean, you have maybe enough room for the Creative Suite applications you absolutely rely on, which I'm guessing are Illustrator and Photoshop, maybe?
I spend, I would say, 80% of my time in Illustrator. I'm a logo designer. I'll tell everybody once, if you design a logo in Photoshop, you're doing it wrong. I realize that you can work with vectors in Photoshop, but you really want to start in Illustrator. It's the best place to start. Illustrator is where I spend most of my time. I probably spend the rest of my time in InDesign, doing page layout. I do lots of annual reports and 100-page PDF booklets and things like that for clients. So that takes up some of my time. And then Photoshop, I do web design in Illustrator. And then And what people don't know about Illustrator and in Photoshop is that if you group objects together in Illustrator, like you select them all and you hit, Command G to group it, when you export as a Photoshop file and you open in Photoshop, those are in a folder together. What I do when I build a website is I grab all the header stuff and I group it. I grab all the footer stuff, I group it, yada, yada. And then when I export to Photoshop, I tidy up the layers, I rename them, and everything is sorted the way I want it. But I'm more comfortable in Illustrator. I feel safe in Illustrator.
Nice. Yeah. So, that said, you'd install Illustrator, you'd install InDesign, and you'd be done. I mean, really, you would be done with what you would have on that machine. You wouldn't be able to have anything else.
Yeah, I think it would all come down to how I handle the Dropbox space. And if need be, I could trim it down and just do active clients. But that means that I'd have to have a desktop. I couldn't just have one computer if I did that.
Right. And I mean, that's pretty much why you do have a desktop as your principal machine now and use the Air as almost a machine like we talked about, a kind of secondary on vacation, this is where I'm going to go to the coffee shop with machine.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that with your iMac. But you really do need not only the speed, but I would imagine the space, the additional added storage that an iMac can provide.
I do. I mean, I'll say that out of the 105 gig that's being used on my Air right now, 12 of it is audio, which it's all in iTunes Match, but I've just some things that I listen to more often than not, like the Tron legacy soundtrack. I've downloaded that to my computer so I don't have to stream it, things like that.
Understood. So, all right, let's just say, for instance, you're not a logo designer, you're not a designer at all. Let's just say that you're a writer, and that's what you do. What then on this mythical MacBook Air with the little bit of space you have left? what are the apps that you would just have to have?
Well, Dropbox comes in play still with writing.
It's everywhere.
That's a given. As a matter of fact, I think we've come to the point in this whole series where we can assume Dropbox. We no longer have to say, well, Dropbox, of course, because everybody uses it. It's the way to go. And if you're not, you're crazy. So,
yeah. I mean, there's enough text editor apps out there that use iCloud that you could go that route. But I can't access my iCloud data. Right. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to go rescue a text document from the deleted in Dropbox. You have to go to the website and restore it because somehow it's disappeared. So I like the control, and I'm glad that I have that control. So Dropbox is essential. On my Air, I use Notational Velocity Alt. I use the NV Alt. What do they call that? Fork?
Yep, Mr. Terpstra's fork of Notational Velocity.
I absolutely love it. And so I use that for a majority of my writing now. And those files are stored in Dropbox. Now, I've written two fantasy novels, and both of those were written in Scrivener, and I love Scrivener. When I wrote those books, I felt safe and comfortable writing in Scrivener, and so I wrote them in Scrivener. There's something about writing nonfiction, and right now I'm in the middle of writing a book that's not fantasy. It's business related, and for some reason, what I found to be easier is to outline the book in high detail. Every chapter gets, you know, 7 or 8 subpoints, and I take those subpoints, and they each become a file in Dropbox / NV Alt / whatever I'm using on my iDevices. And so I can grab one document at a time and say, okay, this is my focus. This is one outline point. Let me write that piece. And I write that, you know, 1,500 words or whatever it is. And then I go back to Scrivener and I assemble that text. I put that in the section where it should go. Scrivener is essential for me to build and produce finished books, whether I'm building it to go to print or building it to go out as an EPUB / Mobi for Kindle. Scrivener's, it's just, there is no other tool. Scrivener is the tool.
Yeah. You know, well, same thing with Enough, right? I wrote Enough on the iPad and, you know, saved those to text files using, you know, Hogbay Software's plain text, as I've spoken about many times before. But when it came time to actually put the book together, to tie in some of the research that was supporting some of that work and to make sure that that made it in, the editing process and putting the finishing touches on there, all of that stuff was done in Scrivener, and passed, that Scrivener file was, you know, basically passed back and forth, as it were, in Dropbox, so that when I had the final version back from Penny Matern, my editor, it was the final edits. I could then just take that file and point Aaron to it and say, okay, Aaron, now you can do the layout and cover and all the other stuff and build a book. And once again, he could just take that Scrivener file and do that. I think if I would have done that with just the original plain text documents, it would have taken much longer and would not have been nearly as elegant a solution that everyone could kind of take the Scrivener file and do what they needed to do.
Yeah. And I before I discovered Scrivener, used Pages to do some EPUB creation, because Pages does have that ability. And this was before iBook Author came about. But it's painful. I mean, it really does. You have no way of quickly and easily iterating to make sure you massage out the problems. And with Scrivener, I can do that. So I don't have a lot of experience with iBook Author. I need to get more experience with it. But for now, Scrivener is perfect. Scrivener is a Mac App Store app too. So I can buy it once and I have it on both computers. And the files that you create with Scrivener are very friendly with Dropbox. So I can put them in, you know, a Dropbox folder, and I can open it no matter where I'm at. And I don't have to do any fancy, you know, symlink creations or aliases or anything like that. I just open the file and that's it. So
basically, you know, from a writing perspective, you're really NV Alt and Scrivener are really the only essentials.
Exactly. On my
what utilities are you liking and using a lot these days that you think, oh geez, I just couldn't live without? Like one that I've mentioned on Minimal Mac before, for me, I've just come to like be like, well, if a Mac doesn't have this, the Mac is obviously broken. is drag and drop. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
I've read about it, and I think today, which obviously means the show, this is false information because the show comes out after today, but I think today it's $2 Tuesday. It's on sale.
Yeah, it's on sale, which, oh God, just buy it. Buy it. I mean, buy it for $4. I mean, seriously, it's so worth it. But especially if you have come to use and love full screen mode, like I have on my 11-inch chair, drag and drop is so, so essential. Basically, it creates a little copy and paste buffer for drag and drop, as it were. So if you are, you know, moving, say, here's a way I use it a lot. Someone sends me an attachment via email. I grab the attachment. I shake my mouse back and forth. That activates drag and drop. I drop it on the little pallet. I switch apps to the Finder or to Dropbox or whatever, and then I can drop it from there wherever I need it. But so, is there any utilities like that for you that are like, okay, I use this all day, every day. I'd have to have this on any machine I work on.
A new one in my realm of tools here is it DropZone? That puts okay. the so it's a menu bar app, but it also puts this little kind of hot area off to the side. You can pick left or right of the screen, okay. and you drag a file to that area of the screen, and what pops out is little round icons in a curve that represent functions that you want it to do. And there's a limited library of functions at the moment, but there's enough that I can get some use out of it. So one is a folder that's just basically I have a folder on Dropbox called temp, and I stick everything in there that I don't have a place for and I need it on both machines. So I find a cool image online of like a chart or something, and I'll toss it in there. So I have one that's moved to temp. And sometimes it's easier to drop it in there than it is to go down to my dock where I have that temp file as well, because a dock tends to squirm around a little bit like a worm. I have a Dropbox public folder drop zone in there. So what I do when I prepare logo files for a client is I take their final logo in Illustrator format and I save it in five other formats just to give them some tools. Eventually some t-shirt company is going to say to them, yeah, you need to send us an EPS. So I have an EPS in there. And I grab those six files and I drag them onto a button that says zip files. And it takes those files, it zips them. A little pop-up window wants me to type in the name of that zip document. And then it drops it on my desktop. And then I pick that up and I drop it in the drop zone for Dropbox public folder. And it copies that to the public folder and copies the URL to my clipboard. So then I can go to mail and immediately send the mail with a link to go download it, as opposed to open the folder, put it in there, right click, grab the link, all that stuff. So
yeah,
so
that's pretty handy. A lot of steps. Yeah.
That is like some wizardry stuff. Like that is magic.
That's where things get magical here. Yeah. Now the one that blows me away and is so magical is Fantastical.
Yeah.
And I know that there's
a lot of people like it. I just haven't gotten into it.
Yeah. I just love the natural language to input calendar events, you know. Meet Pat at Starbucks at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, enter, and it puts it in. It grabs the context of all the words. It knows if you say Tuesday and it's already Thursday that it means next week. And, oh, it's just brilliant.
Yeah, and see, QuickCal does the same thing, and I've been using QuickCal for so long.
And that's why you're, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they both do the similar things, but Fantastical does a few other things more, I think, as well, that a lot of people dig.
They just added in... let's see if I can call up the quick entry screen. It's smart recognizes whether you're typing in a calendar event or a reminder. And it will send that reminder, from what I understand, it'll send it to, once we get to Mountain Lion, it'll send it to the Reminders app. Right now, I think it puts it in as a task in iCal. So those are probably the two biggest utilities that I lean on. I mean, I have Growl going, but I think I've got the notifications pared down so much on that. I'm just kind of waiting for Notification Center.
Mountain Lion will replace that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, it's been good to talk through a lot of this stuff. Reason that I like doing these How Bare Is Your Ear segments is that it not only helps to shine a light on some things that, you know, people may or may not have heard of, but also kind of the idea that I try to promote here on Enough, which is everybody has really different needs. And what is simplicity for some may be overkill for others. And what is, you know, what is not enough for some is completely okay, right? You know, I mean, you really want to find that balance between you know, what is too much and not enough for you. And that's something that only an individual can answer. In your case, you need to have the tools that you need to have because you use them, and you use them for the purpose of your work and for your passion and for what you love to do. And that there is no shame in that game. You know, that just because, mm-hmm. you know, you're not, you know, super minimalist, you know, simplicity, yada, blah, blah, you know, there's something to be ashamed of. Yeah, how many, God, I can't even begin to tell you how many people will, you know, show me a screenshot of their desktop, or, you know, I'll go to a client location. They'll go, oh, geez, you know, I'm sorry. It's so messy. I know that's not what, you know, you've taught me. It's like, no, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this working for you? Can you find what you need to find? Can you get the work done that you need to get? Oh, great. Then, hey, what can I say against that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So yeah. And, you know, I think that this was an important reminder for people. You know,
yeah, your tools have to fit your needs. You can't just be forced into a system. And there's been conversation on Twitter with some other people that are in the network, like Mike Marty and Mike Schechter, about, you know, productivity systems. And the point that I always come back to is, look, it's not one size fits all. You know, pick one of the two or three big camps. It's build what works for you. You know, When I sell those capture cards on my getfrictionless.com website, and some people say to me, I need instructions on how to use this. And I say, no, you don't. Like, there are no labels, because labels confine you to an area. Mm-hmm. If you put the word date in one of the boxes on that card, people feel like they have to put a date there. I don't label the fields, because I don't think people should have to be forced into a system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the same thing that you should take into using your Air, is that, you know, fill up the whole 256 gig or use 10 gig, you know, whatever you can.
Right. The only thing I would argue is that if you only use 10 gig and you're only ever going to need 10 gig, then save the money on the 256, get the 64 and be perfectly happy, and use that money to, I don't know, buy a ice cream cone or something.
for sure. Yeah, all I can't get by on the smaller one. I couldn't do the smaller one. The 11-inch just wouldn't fit me. But my first Mac was a 12-inch PowerBook, so this 13-inch is amazing. It's my favorite computer.
Yeah.
It's my precious.
Well, the 11-inch is mine. So
mine too.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for being on, Aaron, as always.
Yeah, for sure.
And thank you, Michael, as always, for handling the controls.
No problem. I'm at Control Central.
All right. And we'll chat later.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.